Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Michael is now a post-tropical cyclone over the Atlantic Ocean. At its height, the storm was the most powerful hurricane to hit the continental United States in more than 25 years. At least 11 people died, five of those in Virginia, as Michael moved up the coast. The story is now one of recovery for devastated communities in Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. Here's Lance Hansen, a resident of Mexico Beach, Florida, speaking with NPR.
This is a war zone. How are you going to get out of here? This city is destroyed. The whole area is going to get, they're going to tear down all these houses and rebuild it. You're not going to recognize Mexico Beach.
Let's check in with NPR's Joel Rose. Hi, Joel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I understand you're at an emergency operations center just outside of Panama City. What are you learning?
Yes, as you say, I'm just a couple miles outside of Panama City here at the emergency operations center where first responders are sort of gathering from all across the region. The parking lot is, in fact, totally overflowing with vehicles, be they military, Coast Guard, utility companies. You know, it's spilling out into the neighboring, into the sort of the swampland and pines around the building. I've learned more, though, from my trip into Panama City. And I've just come back from, you know, going down into the city and really looking around at the damage. And it's pretty staggering.
A lot of the pictures that we've seen so far have been focusing on Mexico Beach. So is it as bad where you are in Panama City? Because in some places, it just seems like homes and businesses are just totally wiped off their foundations.
The damage in Panama City is pretty extensive. I mean, I have never seen so many trees on the ground or bent over, power lines on the ground all over the place. I mean, you drive around the city and you just are constantly driving over them. Still, there's lots of debris in the roadways. You know, some houses are seem like they're more or less okay. Others look like they're okay, except for they have a tree, you know, leaning on this, on the roof. And then there are other buildings where the wind just sheared the whole face of the building off. I mean, I saw several churches that were just, you know, utterly missing their facades or their sidewalls. And you could peer right into the sanctuary and, you know, see the pews from standing out on the sidewalk. I mean, you know, so it was really sort of house by house in a way, but you know, some neighborhoods really, you could tell, bore the brunt of the damage. And you know, we've heard about Lynn Haven, which is a town just north of Panama City. And also some of the parts of Panama City that I got into today look pretty bad.
Now, we're seeing the death toll rise today across the region. But there's so much rubble out there. Is there a sense that there could still be a lot of people who are missing, still trapped underneath that rubble and need to be taken out?
I don't know that I saw that kind of damage in Panama City. I think, you know, I think the concern here is more sort of long term, you know, can people live there? I mean, there's no power and it seems like not really any great chance of power being restored in the near term. I mean, I think we're looking at weeks, if not months, given sort of the scale of damage that I'm hearing about, until power is restored. There's also no water throughout the city. There's no cell phone service, you know, except for this little pocket where I'm talking to you at, you know, from the Emergency Operations Center. You know, a lot of people don't have cell phone service. It sort of depends on which carrier you're with, but in general, communication is still just like a huge challenge. So, you know, I don't know that we're necessarily going to see a spike in the death toll from Panama City, although we could. I think it's more like the question is, like, when can people, how are people going to go forward and live there while they're rebuilding?
Well, and there must be some people there now. As you say, there's no power, there's no water. For the people who have stayed behind, how are they getting on? Where are they staying?
Well, hour by hour is how one woman described it to me. I mean, they're, you know, they've got bottled water, they're some of them who are making plans to have, you know, friends and relatives bring in supplies with them from out of town. Others are making plans to go and ride this out somewhere else until, you know, conditions are a little bit more hospitable on the ground. But this is, you know, it's you do see people coming back in to check on their houses. The roads have become like a little bit more navigable today, I think, than they were a day or two ago. But you know, in some streets are still impassable with downed trees, and some people still haven't been into their neighborhoods to see their houses yet. So, you know, it's just early hours, really, in the recovery effort.
Yeah, that's NPR's Joel Rose outside of Panama City, Florida. Joel, thanks for your reporting, and stay safe out there.
Thank you.